The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The 6th Congressional District.
We have a winner. There is a winner in Georgia's 6th Congressional District. And her name is Karen Handel. She's the she's the Republican. So once again,
thank you.
The Republican will lead the 6th congressional district from Georgia.
40 years now.
Yeah. So it's the same outcome. So what we had here is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, okay.
You know Raiders of the Lost Ark, the theory?
Yes.
That even if Indiana Jones had not been in the movie, it would have still been the same outcome.
Yeah.
You're like, no, no.
Just put a different person.
No, I mean, the character could have been removed from the movie.
Yeah.
It didn't even have to happen.
Yeah.
So what was the outcome? They got the Ark. What happened? The Nazis died when they opened the Ark. Sorry, spoiler alert here.
Yeah, you know.
If you haven't seen it since 1980, sorry. Yeah, if that's what happened. You're like, well, no, they wouldn't have found it because they wouldn't have gotten the staff. No, no, he stole the medallion.
Yeah.
Or took it. They only had the hand imprint. They would have just gone there, got it from the girl, burned the bar down, and still gotten it.
It's a lot of spoiler alert this morning.
Right. I mean, same thing happened. You spent $26 million and lost by 4 points. It's the same thing. What? All of this hype, all of the, you don't understand, the Democrats up by 2 points. It's a referendum on Donald Trump. It's a referendum on the Republicans. This is the first indicator of what's coming in 2018. The Republicans will lose en masse, the Democrats. People are speaking. No.
This was another Hillary Clinton story. This guy had the media, the celebrities came out, all the celebrity politicians came out.
Money. A little bit of money came out.
A little bit?
A lot of money.
I'm talking about a lot of money came out. I think the entire 6th district of Georgia's budget was put on him.
Yeah, because I think they spent $26 million.
And this is just one seat.
Right. And in the end, what's it? They don't even get the full orchestra. They just get a womp, womp, womp. That's all you get. It's like the game show fail. Womp, womp, womp. Sorry.
And I'm looking at the map. It's pretty red.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like bleeding red.
Right. So they had it. Okay. We probably can't win this. It's really Republican. But you know what we can do? We can make a showing. We can make this a referendum on Trump. This will be the platform that gets us a lot of attention, and we can make...
The 6th district is going to bring Democrats back into the spotlight.
No. It just did a womp, womp, womp. You failed. There was nothing happened. You didn't accomplish anything. Such a failure. We've got John Ossoff. Ossoff, which is it?
Well, according to Kelly Unaway, she goes... She's laughing her ass off.
Oh, her ass off. I see what she did there. Waka waka. Listen, Kellyanne, leave the yuck yucks to us here, okay? You just go ahead and speechify on behalf of Trump.
You go pretty, sweetie.
That's right.
You go sweet pretty.
Here's $10. Buy yourself something pretty. All right, we have John Ossoff's concession speech. Here we go.
Everybody, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, everybody. I love you too. Thank you very much, everybody. Okay.
Do you notice who he sounds like there?
Who does he sound like?
Like Obama. I love you too. Thank you much, everybody.
He shout out the doctor too.
Yeah. All right, here we go. John Ossoff.
A few moments ago, my friends, I called Secretary Handel. No, please.
What's with the hand? He puts his hand up like, stop.
I commended her on a hard-fought race and on her victory this evening.
Gotcha.
Now, let me address you.
Hold it one side there. Wasn't he addressing them?
No. He was just speaking to himself.
And now he's going
to
address them.
Now he's going to address them.
Here we go. John Ossoff.
The more than 12,000 of you who, as darkness...
He said 12,000! Woo! I love 12,000! Woo! If he had said 13, I would have been like, dude, I am so out of here. Woo! 12,000! Woo! So there was liquor at the event last night.
Probably.
Okay, here we go.
Probably.
Of you who, as darkness has crept across this planet, have provided a beacon of hope for people here in Georgia.
Wait, what?
For people across the country.
Wait, what? As darkness has crept across this planet, those 12,000 provided a beacon of hope.
They were the beacon of hope for the 6th District of Georgia.
So the 6th District of Georgia provided a beacon of hope for the world because Ossoff lost.
Yes.
What am I missing here?
I don't get it either.
You spent $26 million and you lost. How is this a beacon? You have proven to the world that is under the shroud of darkness that you too, anybody, anywhere on this planet, can lose.
And look at Hassel as I can right now.
If he believes that... If Republicans are the shroud of darkness, they're still shrouding them.
Yeah. By the way, the darkness won. If you're keeping the score at home, Ossoff says Republicans are the darkness. You know, guess what, Ossoff? The darkness won.
Let's go to the sports scores. And in politics today, darkness won, light zero.
Well, according to last night, according to the president, is darkness 5, light zero. Because this is 5 wins.
In the first of a one-game series, darkness won.
Such a tool.
What are you talking? You lost. You douchebag. You spent $26 million and you lost. You had the entire country full of Democrats all in a tizzy getting in Georgia 6. It's going to be a referendum. The media wanted this to be a referendum.
CNN had them like an MSNBC.
Oh my gosh.
Back to back to back. It's funny because a lot of Twitter videos have come out where they just have the media. Oh, you're going to win. You got this.
Right. I know. Okay. More on the darkness.
And for people around the world.
Yes.
This small community in Georgia, which has become the epicenter of politics, sometimes to my chagrin, for months now. And it's had nothing to do with me. It never has.
Okay.
It's about you. It's about an extraordinary community at an extraordinary moment in history. The first opportunity in this country to make a statement about values that can still unite people.
The first opportunity that you lost. It means that there's the first opportunity and there's going to be others. It's just the first of many. You know, don't let this was the, he knows he lost, right? This is an acceptance speech.
Yeah.
We came here and this was our first opportunity and we did it.
He probably just said, I'm going to concede, but I still want to read this speech.
Yeah, I only wrote one. I really thought I was going to win.
Did he pull a Hillary?
I think he may have, yeah. Only got one speech here, guys. All right.
At a time when politics has been dominated by fear and hatred and scapegoating and division, this community stood up. Women in this community stood up.
Hold it.
Oh, yes.
Women stood up, including a woman who kicked my ass.
And by the way, this is the first time a woman wins that seat.
Right, so it's still historical.
Yes. That glass ceiling that Hillary Clinton wanted to break.
Right.
Hendo broke.
Right. He was fighting against the breaking of that ceiling. He's like, no, I want to be the glass that keeps the ceiling, keeping women down.
Woo! Yeah.
What? Wait, back that up just about 5 seconds or so. This is nutty. I don't think he understands.
No, I don't think so.
Fear and hatred and scapegoating.
Hold on a second.
Fear, hatred, and scapegoating.
The people you're saying done that won. Yeah. You were not successful in stopping the fear, hatred, and scapegoating.
And by the way, a lot of Democrats did that a lot, too.
Yeah, there was a bunch of that, too. Then here's the women thing.
Vision, this community stood up. Women in this community stood up.
Women in this community stood up against women. That's what basically he said.
Maybe they're cheering because the woman won.
Oh.
You're right. They stood up and we've got a woman. We broke the glass ceiling because you lost, John.
What?
And you picked this campaign up and you picked me up and you picked Alicia up and you carried us on your shoulders.
To a loss. You carried us over the finish line after the winner.
After the women winner.
I want you to know we came in second in a race of two.
You know what they say about second, right?
What's that?
It's the first loser.
It's the first loser. I mean, if you're running the Boston Marathon and you come in second out of 20,000.
That's good.
It sucks. You didn't get the purse. You didn't win the money or whatever. But you can go, you know, I came in second. You're like, wow, 20,000. Holy moly.
Yeah.
But in a race of two.
You're the first and last loser.
Right, exactly.
And we showed the world that in places where no one thought it was even possible to.
It wasn't. It wasn't possible. You showed the world it was not possible. What are you talking about? Listen.
Fight. We could fight.
You could fight and lose.
We showed them what courage and kindness and humility are capable of.
Humility.
Really
we
humble.
Showed them how amazingly humble we are. Woo! Amazingly humble.
Woo!
That's not humility.
No. If you have to say it.
Right.
It's not humble.
I am the most significant and wonderful, humble person there ever was.
We showed them that we can still build coalitions of people who may not see.
No, you can't.
Well, actually, I'm going to give him this one, Doc. They can build coalition of losers.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I could give him that.
The eye on everything, but rather than demonizing each other, we find common ground to move forward. And that's the only way this country will move forward.
They didn't demonize. Democrats have never demonized.
No.
So this is not the outcome any of us were hoping for.
No.
But this is the beginning of something much bigger than us.
What is 2018?
So thank you. Thank you for the most extraordinary experience I've ever had the honor of being a part of. Thank you for knocking on hundreds of thousands of doors. Thank you for making hundreds of thousands of phone calls. It's extraordinary what you have done here. The fight goes on. Hope is still alive. I thank you all so much.
and a few other cliches. The fight goes on. We'll take this one race at a time.
Liberty would never be quiet.
E pluribus unum. I feel sensational.
Six separate tyrannies.
You're the one. You deserve a break today. I'm loving it. What?
Have it your way. Right. Truth lives here.
Random platitudes. Listen.
I thank you. I thank my family. And most of all, I want to thank Alicia.
His wife, I'm guessing.
I guess, yes.
Domestic partner.
Yes.
Who's been on the campaign trail for months after working long hours every day in the operating room, who has lifted me up every evening after long days and shown what true partnership is.
Okay. I got to get a break in here. This is The Morning Blaze.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-8192. That's 800-600-8192. 800-600-8192.
With Doc Thompson.
All right, tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned.
You got TMB listener number two. Mm. Hey, Bob, where's my concession speech? This is the concession speech, not the victory speech, right, Bob?
It's a new world. You just write one speech, right? Doesn't matter what happens, it's one speech.
Dead last TMB listeners, I can fight and get a participation ribbon when I lose.
Steve did it. I was waiting for him to say, good night, Steve Cannon, wherever you are. Oh, DM and DM. This is the day when the sea levels will rise and a chicken in every pot.
Kool-Aid with a C. Ossoff be like, we're number two. We're number two.
We're number two. We try harder. Yeah, but he's not going to send you to D.C. Pretty much only one win there. Carrie Elason in Georgia 6. Karen won handily.
Yeah, that's a
I
nice
see what you did
on,
there.
Play on words in
I
there.
I see what you did there. It's Handel, Karen Handel. Nice.
I like Kathy and DeBerg, number three. Ossoff wants to thank all with commercial jingles. Oh, this is a picture I was trying to show you. Look at CNN and how upset they are.
You know what? That's almost the look from the last election with Hillary and Trump. The only difference with Trump is they really didn't expect him to win.
No.
The Georgia one, they weren't like as vested in the other side. Like Hillary, they just knew that the world would not elect Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's so you remember the Rachel Maddow, like, I just can't, I can't believe this.
She went that same route last night. She went that same route last night. From what I heard on Twitter, she went the same route.
Did Glenn Beck endorse John Ossoff? Ossoff. What is it? Ossoff.
Ossoff.
He didn't endorse him, did he?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Wow, so he was not saddled with a Glenn Beck endorsement. Did he endorse Handel?
I don't think so either.
I was going to say, because that would be really amazing if she won in spite of the Glenn Beck endorsement.
Well, isn't Glenn's the kiss of death?
I'm not saying that. I'm just.
Then what are you saying?
I'm saying that.
Okay.
Oh, we got TMB listener. Anyway, there it is. Lori D, listener number nine. She has, I spent $26 million on this election, and all I got was this lousy ass whooping. Hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogan. I like it.
I like it because
I think
still
we may run with
won.
That we may run with that t-shirt slogan this morning.
She submitted another one. She goes, Ossoff t-shirt slogan, and there's an up arrow, And he says, I'm with stupid. I'm with her.
That was
I'm
Kathy Neberg who has that one.
Oh, okay.
And then, damn it, Jim. He put, make carpet bagging great again. Hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogan. That is, damn it, Jim is amazing. That is, because he wasn't even in the sixth. He yeah. doesn't live in the sixth district.
And he got asked that question. He just shrugged it off. He's like, oh, well, the people live there.
Oh, well, okay then. Great. Wonderful. So hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogan.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Tweeted a hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogan. Hope but no change.
I see what you did there.
Because there was no change. Darkness is still dark.
And darkness won?
Darkness won, I guess, as far as he's concerned. But God bless him. He's marketing it. Ossoff t-shirt slogan. Get him into us. Of course, still use that hashtag, what I learned today. And if you would, please follow us on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. At Cal79, who is absent today. He's still dealing with a couple personal things. But he will be back at the latest, because he was supposed to be off Friday.
Yeah, so at the latest, Tuesday.
Okay, because he was supposed to be off Friday and Monday anyways, yeah. Then he took a couple of extra days. Mm-hmm. So at Real Chris Cruz, if you want to follow him, and at The Blaze Brad, who's coming up with your headlines about a half hour from right now, and at Doc Thompson with hashtag what I learned today. There is a new report about smoking in America for decades and decades. There's been a concerted effort to get people to stop smoking. To
have
smoke
you ever
less.
Smoked? Cigarettes?
I've tried it, yeah. But never.
Catch on?
No, it never stuck. I can't believe it didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, my father smoked at one point almost 3 packs a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, I was a generation, a lot of people smoked. I mean, there were ashtrays everywhere. Do you even remember ashtrays in restaurants?
No.
Dude, it was horrible if you didn't smoke.
I know age is the thing, but was there ashtrays in the planes too? Was it a
yeah?
So you were in a plane and people were smoking?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fascinating.
If you look at the little armrest, sometimes yeah, you see that, in the I older see, planes yeah. a little cutout area that was for
and in the bathrooms
ashtray.
Too.
Yeah,
you could see ashtrays in the bathroom. It was fascinating.
The plane was horrible. It was everywhere. I worked in radio station. You would go into, and Kirk, you probably don't remember this either. When you went into a restaurant, you sat down at the table, you see the salt and pepper shaker and the little thing of sugars, the little packets, there'd be an ashtray there.
Well, remember they had a smoking and non-smoking section, too, whenever I would go to. So they would separate it out.
Yeah, and most of the time they were separated by a half wall.
Yeah, it wasn't even that sometimes.
You're still next to the person because the smoke knows this is the non-smoking section. As a non-smoker, it was horrible to deal with. So awful. And it was ashtrays everywhere you went. In people's homes, decorative ones, and it was like a piece of art, and it was filled with cigarette butts. Think about that. This was just the culture. And there was a concerted effort because smoking is bad for you. Yeah. Will it give everybody cancer? No. The odds of you getting some illness as a result of smoking is very high. It's really, really awful for you. I think most of us know that now. So a concerted effort to get people to quit smoking. I don't think that's the government's job to get people to stop doing destructive things to themselves. I don't think that's their job. But okay, they did it. They said, this is bad. We're going to put labels. I don't like them, you know, restricting business or mandating on businesses. But okay, it's out there. And on some level, it was successful. There are, by percentage, less smokers in America now. And that's a wonderful thing, right?
Yeah. No, it
no,
is.
No.
Oh, no.
There's other shoes to drop. In their world, they said, smoking is bad. We need to save more people. The government will tell people to quit smoking. Well, we can't. Prohibition doesn't work. Trust me. If alcohol prohibition was not around in the 1920s, they would have absolutely done a smoking prohibition over the last years. But everybody brings it up. We know that doesn't work, is what they say. Okay. So we need to influence them, which, again, should not be the government's job. But they did it. And a bunch of people quit smoking. What that means is those people who quit smoking are now around longer.
Okay.
Meaning they have to be provided for. Meaning they're a drag on society.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, you had more people dying, so now the population is increasing. And because of modern medicine, we're able to save more people. But that's a good thing, Doc. People are living. Okay, good. You didn't count on that, but okay. New statistics show that the people that are still smoking are the poorest among us. The only people that their campaign to get people to quit smoking was successful on were on are people that are affluent or middle class. People with greater education. So the less educated and the poor among us are still smoking. You get the significance of that?
Yes.
The less educated and the poor are people who use more government services. Modern technology keeps them around longer. Who pays for their health care?
We all do.
We do. So the people who pushed big government health care, we've got to take care of people, your tax dollars, we got to redistribute the wealth. They were successful at having fewer wealthy and middle class smokers, but not successful at getting the poorer people that they have to take care of off of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to pay for those people.
Yeah.
It has also hit the smoking and tobacco industry. So there's fewer jobs in those sectors to help contribute to the taxes to pay for the smokers. Do you see this horrible system? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Have you ever heard that?
I heard that, yes. Don't know where it come from, but
you,
I heard it.
You try. You're like, well, let's do this good thing. But you've got to understand there are always extenuating circumstances and always outcomes that you don't understand or can't predict. Whenever you intervene in anything, even if you have the best intentions, there's always going to be something you didn't plan for. It's going to affect something else. Not always in a horrible way, but there are going to be other things. Now, you got these poorer smokers that need more health care and we're paying for. What do you think happens now? Is that the government going to say, oh, let's back off. Let's let people live their lives. Let them be responsible for themselves. No. Are they going to say, we need to now ban smoking outright? No. They're not going to do that because of prohibition and the backlash and the tobacco lobby. Not going to do that. They're going to continue to put up more and more restrictions, more warning labels and stuff. Well, that has not been successful with the poorer people. So you're still not accomplishing anything. It's just more expense, more government control. Got it. Still not going to get those people. They're still going to be a drag. They still have their motivations to get these people off of tobacco. What will they say next?
Well, I don't know. What else is there to say?
They need more government control.
Oh.
They need to intervene in these people's lives. Again, we can't say a prohibition. We would never say that. We're going to need to control their health care costs more.
Oh.
And we're going to need to control those. They will launch into any number of new programs and control measures that are not directly about cigarettes, but to control these people that we're now paying for. And they will market this greater control with the idea of, well, you don't want to pay for these people, do you? The very people who pushed more government control and the government needs to take care of health care. We need a single-payer system. Oh, we can't have that. We'll use Obamacare where the government needs to be part of the health care solution, right? And we need to redistribute. That the government needs to be there. Are going to sell greater control to the more conservative people by saying, you don't want to pay for those people, do you? Then we need more control to make sure you don't have to pay for them.
That's pretty smart.
That's what they're going to do. They did that a little bit with Obamacare. They said the reason we need a mandate that everybody has it, because why should you have to pay for somebody else? Everybody should have skin in the game, right? We got to make sure everybody's... Wait, how about we all just take care of ourselves? We all had skin in the game when we were all taking care of ourselves.
Personal responsibility.
Right. That's how it works. So they're going to use some of the same arguments that we make against this stuff against us to encourage. And there will be a lot of people. Oh, you're right. I don't want to pay for them. Forgetting there is a better way. The better way is to not pay for people at all. For us to, as a government, as a group of people who vote for a government to maintain basic law and order, the basic, most fundamental, smallest amount of structure for a society to operate could be, how about the government back off a little bit and you take personal responsibility, and if you don't, you will suffer the consequences. They could do that, and guess what? Then I don't have to worry about paying for you. Smoke up, Johnny. Enjoy. Have a good day. That's not what they're going to do. This will be the poster child for not just greater control in healthcare with smoking, where they will say, we need more information on everybody, because they already have us, unless the Republicans push through American Healthcare Act that is a true repeal. It'll still have little Obama tentacles in it. And remember, they didn't get rid of the full mandate in the House bill, not completely.
No.
They'll say, well, we already have the IRS making sure everybody has health care. How hard is it to make sure that health care also regulates? Well, first of all, gathers information on everybody. So it's, well, Chris Cruz, yes, he had health care and he's a smoker. And Chris doesn't eat right, and he doesn't exercise, and he watched a lot of porn, picks up hookers, trannies, goes down the list of all of these.
Wow, a lot of truth in that sentence.
I know, a lot of it, all except the smoking.
I know, you would think
cigarettes.
It would be everything else.
Hey-o. So easy to collect, and the argument will be, well, guys, we're not spying. We just want to make sure everybody, you know, is held accountable, because why should I have to pay for Chris if he has destructive behavior and I don't? Why should I? That's the easy, and you know what? It's not, they're not spying and you're not watching it. They already know if you have health care, it'll be done through the health care company. You know, you go in there and the doctor, you do the little checklist.
Yeah.
Tell me about your family history and it'll all be there. And then the next step is, we got to make sure you're healthy.
Yes.
So it will not be a prohibition on cigarettes. You can still smoke. You just won't get health care if you do. And then you'll be in violation of the government. And then dot, 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 dot. This is yet another step. Their mistakes, their failures by trying to control society, those failures are going to be argued, wow, we have failures, we need greater control. They set up systems that fail. More control, less personal responsibility, bigger government, and when it fails, they say, we didn't do it big enough. We need to spend more and we need greater control. That's what's coming with this one simple statistic that shows you that the poor and less educated are still smoking like crazy, and fewer people that are more affluent and more educated are smoking. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
I cannot thank you enough for supporting the sponsors we here have at the Blaze Radio Network. We started some significant changes at the first of the year. And I told you about some of the failures the last 6 months of last year. And I was embarrassed by the show and some of the things the network was up to. And we had some technical issues that we could not get beyond for the longest time because we had to relocate some servers and stuff to Dallas. It was a nightmare. And I told you that things would change slowly, but change was definitely coming. And I hope you've realized that now over the last 5-6 months. We've got some more significant changes coming that are going to blow you away. I had dinner last night with one of the senior managers last night here. Yes, I'm dropping names. Did you guys have dinner with one of the senior managers last night?
No, when I had dinner with Glenn, he didn't mention you.
Oh, so you have the senior manager. Wow, you just trumped me. I can't believe this. And we talked about some really cool stuff that's coming. I'm really excited for it. And a lot of that's possible because you have supported us both by listening and sharing our information and telling others to listen, and also supported our clients like Relief Factor, the all-natural anti-inflammatory that's been helping Blaze audience members and all kinds of people here at the Blaze with their chronic pain that is primarily due to inflammation. Pain in the body is usually because of some sort of inflammation. If you take care of the inflammation, you take care of the pain. But unfortunately, one of the main ways we deal with pain is we mask it. We take a drug that kind of pickles us. The pain's still there, but hey, man, it's cool. Except it comes with a lot of side effects, like you start talking like this, man. That's cool because you're stoned. That's really, really what you're talking about here.
Pretty much, yep.
You could try Relief Factor for 3 weeks. It's a 3-week quick start pack, which will certainly see the impact of getting rid of that inflammation and getting rid of the chronic pain for just $19.95. Usually takes 7 to 10 days to see the results. So start it today by calling Relief Factor at 800-500-8384. It's Relief Factor, 800-500-8384, or go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. It will work for you. It's worked for us. Just try it today. Relieffactor.com. So we're talking about the healthcare that the Republicans are working on.
Oh, yes.
And how they're going to spin this whole thing. The Senate Republicans are going to release their healthcare bill tomorrow. Now, the House passed theirs, which is an abomination. You people that supported this bill and supported Trump on this have failed. I know why you supported Trump. I get the whole thing. There was a division of people on the right. Some of it I didn't understand at the time. Some I understand now. But if you are supporting Trump's health care bill, call it Trump Care or Ryan Care, whatever the hell you want to call it, the American Health Care Act that they passed, you have failed and they have failed. You have failed to hold them accountable when you marched in the streets as Tea Partiers, when you sent emails, when you were pissed off, when you lived with that jackass Obama as president for 8 years and the abomination that is big government takeover of healthcare. You have failed if you support this. It is wrong. The way forward is repeal and then repeal some of the other BS that the government had put in place over the last decades before that.
Testify.
Thank you. The Republicans are not only going to do the same jackassery type of thing that the House did, they've been doing it in secret.
Oh, yeah. It's taken them 8 years to come up with this thing.
Yeah, they've been doing it. You would have lost your minds if the Democrats or Obama had done something like this in secret. Mm-hmm. But they're finally going to release it tomorrow, take it to the floor next week. Mitch McConnell said it's going to be different from the House version, but he didn't say how.
Because we don't know what's in it until we pass it.
We pass it, right. Which you would have never accepted because you didn't accept it from Nancy Pelosi. This is what your Senate Republicans are doing, not what you said you wanted. Will you stand with me and say hell no to the GOP?
Hell no!
Repeal it!
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Blaze Radio Network held hostage. Day 21.
Here's your Roku update.
If you're listening,
we've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
If you are listening to the Morning Blaze, you're not listening on Roku. It's still not working. However,
it's still not working.
Still not working.
We have technicians somewhere around the clock. There's a technician awake.
Yes, they're standing around the clock, not working.
Looking at it.
Looking at the clock.
But we will keep you posted as a service to our listeners.
Keep them posted through Roku?
No.
Okay.
We'll have to use a different app. It is, however, National Selfie Day, or as I like to call it, Downfall of the Nation Day.
I call that Normal Day.
Narcissist Day.
Take selfies every day.
I'm so pretty.
I don't understand these days are like, it's happening all the time. Why do you need a day for it?
Look at me day.
Okay.
I am
the Shat Day. And don't forget to use National Selfie Day as your hashtag and share those selfies on social media. Breaking news. Well, that didn't work out so well, did it? Democrats in Georgia have a... really bad hangover this morning, trying to forget that party that really wasn't last night, was it?
Millions of dollars.
No,
for
there was
nothing.
Parties. There was party.
Yeah,
because they think they won, according to John Ossoff.
Yeah, yeah. Karen Handel did win the 6th congressional district, the most money ever spent on that House race in history. 50 really, really large from both sides, and a referendum on Trump. No, it wasn't a referendum.
Wow.
No, we were just kidding about the referendum thing.
And there may be a referendum. This yes. was not it.
No, no.
Stop pretending like it's CNN.
Same speech. Great picture at the Blaze. When you look at the... Is it up there?
The guy who the came CNN in second.
Just the two headshots. The winner and the loser side by side.
It was a good picture? Yes. Those are good pictures.
He looks like somebody just kicked him in the shin.
In the nards.
Mm-hmm. Or there. Moving on.
Wait, do you think he was going... Honey, I got this.
Uh-huh. Alicia.
Alicia, is that this. His wife?
Yeah.
I think I got this.
You know how much money we spent? We've got this.
I got this.
We got the celebrities. You know, mm-hmm. we just got invited to somebody's house.
I'm up against a woman.
And I don't even live there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, we still have that hashtag Osloff t-shirt slogans. I put up one, Putin hacked my campaign.
Oh, you know that's coming.
Mm-hmm. Vote for Pedro. Which, by the way, Rants Out Loud also had a little meme of it, too. A little gif. Soros is my homeboy from Rants Out Loud. Stephen English, hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogans. Ossoff just as successful as Hillary. So, there you go.
Hillary 2.0. Police in St. Louis discovered loads of stolen pink lingerie in a man's trunk.
How would I know anything about that? I wouldn't know anything about that. Right, why would I know anything about it?
And by trunk, I mean the trunk of his car.
Oh, okay.
So, I thought it was like, a twist on that story.
It's like, wow, that's...
Well, he shoved them up there?
Here's the...
All pink?
All pink. $2,300 worth of apparel from a Vicky's Secret store in a mall.
Was it stolen then?
It was stolen. He comes back out. 2 days later, or 3 days later, the same man is arrested at another store, and he still has all the stuff in his trunk.
Oh, I made that mistake once.
No, yeah. If you're going to steal and be stupid about it, at least move the stuff out of your trunk.
I made that mistake as a misspent youth.
Yeah.
Where I had some...
contraband?
Ill-gotten goods that I didn't remove from my trunk. I figured I was going to drink it slowly. I mean, I didn't remove it.
I did the same thing.
And then the cops are like, why? And I was like, can I only remove that last night? But I was like, man, I'm really tired. I'll get it in a couple days. Yep. Womp, womp, blah, blah, blah.
My dad found one of the six that had dislodged from the other five and rolling around in the trunk a week later.
Huh. Yeah, I had that too.
I don't know how they got that.
I had some stash. I don't even know what I was thinking. On the bottom shelf in my room, and it was kind of tucked
no
back.
No one will ever find it here.
The bottom shelf that you could only see if you were like in my bed because it was like kind of tucked up underneath there. But if you're seeing it, was a clear shot there. And the door was on the same wall. So I'm not sure if it ever came in. If they did, it was whatever. My mom's taking a nap in my bed one day randomly because her room was being painted or something. And I come in. I was like, what's going on? She's like, oh, the room's being painted. I'm asleep. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll see you later. And she goes, hey, wait a minute. Son of a biscuit eater.
In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, three people are facing disorderly conduct charges for doing the big nasty on a rooftop.
Three?
The roof is on fire.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. It was they actually listed the names in the story. I'll just give their first names because they've been through enough. Amanda is 24. Joel, it doesn't say how old he is. And Kevin is 26. So Amanda was... Tired.
Okay, that's just sick.
Right?
Two dudes and a chick. That is just sick.
Yeah. Don't they not know it's...
Two chicks and a dude. That'd be fine. Okay, good.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
What do I do with my hands?
That is one of the questions that should be addressed before the entire date is planned.
Listen, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah.
Just, as long as Kevin did not look Joel directly in the
eye...
Then it's not gay.
Here's the thing about it. Can you imagine you're like... Oh my gosh, look at that. Three people having sex on the roof. This is great. Oh, it's two guys.
It's a bad combo.
That's not good. That's disgusting.
What's this funny is I remember waking up in Puerto Rico. I was staying at an Airbnb, and the Airbnb was on the roof. And I'm stretching, looking up the window. And I was like, ho, ho, what is that? They were smacking like there was no tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
4 o'clock in the morning, and they're going right on the roof. And I'm like...
That looks uncomfortable.
Can you move the other way? My camera angle is really bad right now.
Zoom,
yes.
I just thought about it. Can you imagine, you know, there's a lot of gentlemen who have that menage a trois fantasy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your significant other comes and goes, honey, I think I want. I want to have a threesome.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Here we go.
So call up Kevin.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I wanted Ashley, not Kevin.
Oh, that's disgusting, she said. That's horrible.
What if Ashley's transgender or Kevin's transgender?
Okay, you had to ruin the whole thing. Yeah, now you just got confusing for us.
Time
for
now it's no longer
transgender update.
Oh.
Boy, that's getting better every day. So in Arkansas, in the Capitol building, one of the state senators, Linda Collins-Smith, is in the bathroom doing what you do in a bathroom, and her political opponent, comes into said women's bathroom, but her political opponent is a transgender.
Oh.
Again, I need a word going male to female, female to male.
Right.
What is it?
So,
it's a tranny.
She is now a woman?
Used to be a man.
Used to be a dude.
Okay.
Or identifies as a woman, because that's technically... Anyway, so this transgender comes in and starts giving the where to the senator, and right there in the bathroom. And, of course, the senator has this security escort this transgender out, because the senator was actually working on a bill that was passed last year that was basically their transgender bathroom bill. This is how confusing the whole damn thing is.
I tuned you out.
Yeah, I know.
I completely too. I'm trying to write notes because I need to keep up.
Uh-huh. So he was a dude. Now he's a woman.
Right.
He goes into the women's bathroom, confronts the woman. She has him kicked out of the bathroom.
I just say it's nice. No matter who wins the race, a woman has won. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's...
I can't take you seriously when you do that.
I know.
It just gets so confusing. And actually, we'll tweet out a picture of the latest bathroom signs coming up because they're getting...
Did I send you that?
You did. Yes, I like it.
It's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm.
It is.
Talk about confusing.
Oh. They added an L.
It was hard enough
picture.
When it was like Damas y Caballeros.
Yes.
Or am I a doe or a buck?
Or the male and female symbols. That confuses me. Which one are we? Are we the plus or
we're
the
arrow? No, we're the plus. I'm the arrow. You're the plus.
I'm the one formerly known as Prince. Scientists have discovered a new species of silver boa constrictor. Just what we needed,
more snakes.
Yeah. He's in the Bahamas, and it's already endangered.
Oh, good.
How is that possible?
Hooray, we discovered you, but you're going to die.
You're going to die.
It was exciting. The professor who discovered it said, as soon as we saw the first one, we knew we'd found something new.
Wait a minute. I see it.
This is new.
We've never seen this before.
Bo was like, what are you talking about? I've been here for years.
He said,
we're about to die.
And it was on a remote island. And
where have you been? I'm dying.
The snake is going, crap, I thought this was our island.
That's right. I only wanted a little privacy.
Yes.
What's that island that has like all the exotic animals? The Galapagos Islands?
What is that?
The Galapagos Islands.
The Galapagos. That's exactly
those are them.
It's the Galanopados.
Yes.
You
just missed a syllable, that's all.
There's one more syllable in it.
It wasn't there.
Try it again with adding the syllable.
Yeah.
What is it again?
Add the other syllable.
Galapagos?
Yeah, add one more syllable now.
Nos?
Yes. Like, add it to the whole thing, an extra syllable.
Galapagos?
That's the one, right there.
That's it. That's where they found the snake.
It's actually, the G is a hard G. So it's like a J sound.
Oh, Galapagos.
And speaking
of... No, that's the H in...
Oh, so Jalapenos.
That's the Jalapenos Islands.
Yeah,
that's it. A lot of peppers
That's where they found it. Speaking of the perfect beaver shot, a photographer in France was trying to get the perfect beaver shot. I mean, he laid on the bottom of a river for like 3 hours a night waiting for this beaver who swims underwater. And I mean, it's a beautiful, stunning picture of a beaver.
How long did he wait for the perfect beaver shot?
Literally for weeks, 2 to 3 hours a night,
just
laying on the bottom of the river with the, you know.
Did he get the beaver shot?
He got the beaver shot. It is a beautiful.
3 hours a night for weeks on end of the perfect beaver shot. Yes. I say that's a small price to
pay. It was absolutely a stunning, stunning beaver shot.
Can I see this beaver shot?
Yes, you may. Here it is right
Don't
here.
Google it, folks.
Is that not a beautiful beaver? Right up.
I've seen better.
Yeah. No, that's better. Razor sharp.
It's too wet for me.
It's razor. I don't know. It's underwater.
I think it's stunning.
I don't know. You know, we'll tweet out a picture of it. Don't Google it yourself.
Yes, no.
Please. Let us do the hard work.
Let us do the difficult
work.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, really, where do we go for? Oh, wait a minute. In Disney World, I think they did this
Doc
just
was there.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Disney World temporarily stopped the monorail after a piece fell off.
Okay, this was last week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this was when we were there. We were trying to go from one park to the other where you have a monorail.
Yes.
And Cubby was wanting to ride the train because one of the parks you have to go on bus.
Right. Yes.
And I'm like, okay, when we go from that park to the next park, mm-hmm. then we'll be able to ride the monorail. We're there, and they're like, oh, it's closed down. And I was like, is it inclement weather? What? And then I saw some of the other ones were running. I think it's when we were there.
Yeah. Chunk fell off, landed approximately 10 feet away from a park visitor, and people were heard saying, I wonder what that does. There are no unimportant parts. Don't pull that lever off. I'm just going to toss this out the window and see what happens.
How come I couldn't have been hit by it?
Right?
You know, Disney loves to put stuff like sweep it up. Here's a sign here, sir.
Yeah.
Here's 10 years free tickets and $10,000.
I'm surprised this got out.
Because I mentioned Cubby fell, right? Mm-hmm. When we were on vacation, he had to go to the restroom. Yes, and I'm like, why couldn't he have done that at Disney?
Yeah. Disney's really good at controlling their...
Are you sure that he didn't get hit on the back of the
Maybe
head?
Maybe it wasn't Disney.
Didn't Mickey
That's what
hit
we should
him?
Have done. Honey, let's head out to the emergency room to Disneyland. To quickly.
Right now.
Right now. Get in the car. Cubby, lay here. Lay right here. My son! My son! The blood! The humanity! Listen, the mouse is paying for your college, Cubby. Lay here. You'll thank me in 20 years. Quick break, back with more on this The Morning Blaze.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
One you're looking at.
Is that the one you're talking about? This one?
Oh, no, nope.
I don't know what that is. I have to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Comment on that one.
We'll talk that one off air before.
Okay, we'll see it. That's going to be really funny. And I'm like, well, I wish I had one more minute of commercial there. I could have gotten to that. Darn it.
Can we get those 30 seconds biography back?
Tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today.
You got Handy Andy O. Galapagos. No, there's no N in there. Anyways, where Chris Cruz discovered the... Lick, luck, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
No, there isn't an N, but it's, you know, that some letters are silent.
Okay.
There's also the opposite of that, where there isn't a letter, but we say it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so you're right to put the N in. You actually got it. So give me that again.
So, Galapagos.
Yes.
Galapagos.
Very close.
Next to Grapeville. Chris Covfefe Beard said, TMB, the only place that links endangered snakes, wet beavers on air and gets away with it. I don't understand.
They want the news.
It's the beautiful. I'm telling you, look at the picture.
You this know what? Dude
Did you tweet
laid,
it out?
Yes.
I'm pissed off at that scientist.
The one that found the one in
yes.
the.
Yes. Because here's the thing.
The snake.
You remember my rule about snakes in my yard?
Yes.
I own a little bit of like.
Woods
behind my house, just a couple tree depth, right? Mm-hmm. And I've given the snakes that realm.
Right.
It's all yours, snakes. You can have it. I own it. I'm going to let you squat there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that.
Very
but
kind.
You stay the hell off of the rest of the property. That's my rule. And some of them have violated this agreement we have.
They should be punished.
Here's a snake who's completely minding his own business.
In the middle of the ocean on an island.
Yes. Right. You got snakes around the world that are being tools,
yeah.
right? These are snakes that are like messing with you.
Yep.
See the rattlesnake, they're like, hey man, back off.
Yes.
I'm going to give you all the warning out there.
Yep.
I'm going to go over here under this rock, this wood pile. Mm-hmm. I'll leave you alone. You leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are jackass snakes mm-hmm. that are out there, you know, poking people in the eye. This snake's minding his own business. And this scientist out there, hey, here's a snake. Got to find him.
I know.
This is a libertarian snake.
And it's a mild-mannered snake, they say. It's a very calm, mild-mannered snake.
Of course, so it doesn't have this?
No, it doesn't have that. It's a boa. And by the way, the professors fell asleep on the beach and found one crawling across him later that night.
So it was the second one?
Yeah, apparently so.
How rare could these be? Right. You find one and there's another one that's like wandered across you.
It's on an island. It's on an island. There's two, maybe. Okay, so let's say there's 10 of them on the island. That's 10.
This is like discovering a McDonald's. I discovered a new fast food restaurant. What? Hey. It's right there. They're all over the place.
Go down 5 miles. There's another one.
Like everybody else on the island's like, Dude, yeah. These things.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. What are you talking about?
Infestation.
They taste like chicken. So,
there's so many of them. We never even talk about them. Oh. Have you noticed all these people with, like, the endangered species? It is almost weekly that they come up with, hey, a new species of toad we never knew existed.
Mm-hmm. And it's endangered.
But they keep telling us about the endangered. You're finding stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I remember it was like a year ago, they found some along some riverbank in China, like a couple miles kind of secluded. They're like a whole new ecosystem with 14 new types of frogs, 32 new fish, 7 snakes, and 8 lizards. We never knew existed. They're all there.
And they taste like chicken.
I mean, things are going extinct. Yeah. How about leaving it alone?
Yeah. How about we just leave them there and let them do their thing?
Wow. New survey claims, and this is a New York Times survey, 39% of office workers say that while at work, they have... taken part in a moment of self-pleasure.
They watch Three's Company?
What's the percentage again?
39% of people claim.
So that's like what? 3 out of 10?
Yeah, a little over.
Okay.
So wait a second. There's 1, 2. And
nine. Almost 4 out of 10.
I was counting two.
Five of us.
My money's on Sarah.
But it said male, though.
No, people. Office workers, not just males.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you got a minute to join us on the air?
She's going to join you on this topic?
She's giving me the dirty look. So let's just add it up between our show and then Glenn's.
Oh, well, we already know. That 30-something percent is all Jeffy.
He represents all 40%.
He's taking the whole 40%.
That's what
you're
he does
skewing the
day.
Survey, Jeffy.
He tipped the scale the all the way.
Literally. And you also tipped the scale. Yeah. You tipped it both ways.
Keep the door shut.
Well, at least we got to the bottom of that around here. Count the office workers at work. Do you got 10 of them in your office? 4 of them when they go on that coffee break?
Don't shake their hand.
Okay. What do I do with my hands?
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Celebrity Chef Patrick talks business and food trends with Doc Thompson and the always hungry Morning Blaze crew.
Chef Patrick, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Doc. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I saw something that I figured you'd really be interested in. Amazon is buying Whole Foods. That's got to be a major, major impact in the restaurant and also food service, grocery store industry.
Yeah, you know, it's going to it's just a matter of time now before the Whole Foods home delivery meal kits start arriving via Amazon drone. I'm taking any day now. So
That's got to hurt the Blue Aprons and all these other ones, cuz I think Blue Apron has an IPO this week or coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah, it's this week or next week. But that would be the logical step. I mean, they're already one of, you know, Whole Foods being a huge distributor of you know, natural foods. That would be the next step, I'm sure. I'm not sure how that all came about. It was so quiet. I was very surprised by the whole possibility of them acquiring Whole Foods.
Well, what's interesting, too, is to see how these are all building up. It looks like there's going to be 3 or 4 companies that do everything. You've got Amazon that does everything from producing movies and video content, you know, sitcoms and whatever, to doing obviously selling all the products they've sold, but now potentially home food and prepared food.
I was going to say, probably the whole dinner cooked.
To kind of prevent that from happening, don't we?
Well, yeah, you would think in some regard. Obviously, these are not violations of the way the laws laid out there, but you know,
it's kind of bizarre how I'm always astounded just because I go into so many different types of businesses at how one company with one, you know, main office can manage so many individual business segments and be profitable.
Well, and what's, you know, interesting about that is when you know how many businesses can't manage one area successfully.
Well, that's you know, one of my main points whenever I go into a restaurant to consult is typically downscale, downscale, downscale. Like, make your menu more focused on what you're really good at and have fewer items. Most people have 30 or 40 or 50 items on their menu. When you walk in, I try to get them down to 20 to 30 total, you know, maybe six in each category of in each menu category. But it just seems like they're growing by leaps and bounds, and the spectrum of the breadth of their business is greater and greater each week. I don't know how they manage it all.
Well, if
brilliant people apparently somewhere up at the top.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. I mean,
and a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
One of the big trends with younger generations is they don't cook as much and they rely more on prepared foods. They want good quality stuff, usually healthy or whatever. Not only is this going to be a trend when you and I go out to eat or look for stuff to be delivered to our home, we'll see more options like that. But this is also good for entrepreneurs to know.
Absolutely. You know, we spoke before about how people can get into this business. Farmers markets, you know, so one step back, the younger generations, millennials especially, and generation, is it Z, I guess, they're very into experiential dining, right? They'd much rather pay more money for a great meal that they don't prepare so that it can be a social activity or some sort of experience. You're seeing that with cannabis and food and all sorts of other areas of the food service business. But yeah, so home delivery is one, but I think the prepared foods counters, like at Whole Foods, they're growing by leaps and bounds. It's actually the number one fastest growing segment of the grocery stores are prepared foods.
And you see it in some of these traditional brands like Kroger and places that they're going crazy because they see that's where the money is. And it's an added value for them. In addition to the groceries, hey, maybe I upsell you and you buy some sandwiches or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, and they used to have what they call, it was called the deli before, and now it's called the prepared foods counter because they have so much more than just deli meats and sandwiches. And I'm always kind of shocked, you know, having lived in the Bentonville area where Sam's and Walmart is located. I know that's kind of their home office territory, but when you walk into even a small Walmart neighborhood grocery store there, at the variety of foods that they put in their prepared foods counter.
There's a lot.
And now that they have, oh yeah, and then the pizzas made on site, which are actually pretty good for an $8 pizza. I was very surprised. but you know, they're really pushing in that market as well because they see that's the niche of the future, I think.
So I saw it's grilling season. A lot of people, you know, grill out and about. And I stumbled across a list that was put out. I think it was Bloomberg had it, of things you should never cook on the grill. And I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. And some of them were really odd. One of them was fillets, filet mignon. It's a piece of tenderloin. And I was like,
why wouldn't you?
And I was like, it's beef. And Patrick, I worked in restaurants growing up, and we would cook our tenderloins on a grill. I mean, it was a broiler where you had a top one as well, but it was still grilled. And their argument was filet is a lean cut, so it doesn't get the same nice caramelization over the grill as many fatty cuts like ribeye. So essentially it fries out and cooks over the flame for the reason they said sear it in a cast iron pan first. I don't understand why. Is that just to seal in the juice?
Well, I don't know if it's to seal in the juice. The problem with a really lean cut of meat is the difference between just done and overdone is a matter of seconds, right? It can be 15 seconds to a minute. So I actually don't. I can cook a filet on the grill, and I do it all the time for people when I'm grilling out. But I prefer to sear it in a pan, what's called a hard sear on there. You get a really hot pan that's almost to the smoke point. The oil in the pan starts to smoke a little bit. Sear one side for, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, and then flip it, and then put the whole pan in the oven. It's a much gentler way to cook the meat. It cooks it more slowly and more evenly on top and bottom so it doesn't dry out. You know, you ever get a filet that's like charred on the outside and raw in the middle?
Which is what I hate.
And that's one of the hard things about cooking on the grill is if you want to cook it on the grill, get a really hard sear on it, flip it, and then move it to a cooler part of the grill.
Is there an advantage other than presentation of having a filet the size it is rather than butterfly it or just cut it in half and do two thinner pieces of meat? What is the advantage to that? Because it's so hard for most people to cook consistently from the outside to the inside.
there isn't one. Presentation okay. is good. You know, they do medallions of tenderloin. It's the same cut as a filet. It cooks in a third of the time, and I think you get a better product.
See, that's what
I
think.
Not trying to cook a 3 or 4 inch tall, you know,
slab of meat, right,
and keep it tender on the outside and still done enough in the middle to be palatable. Yeah, I do it, and I just cut them in. Cut them smaller, and then you get someone who wants a well-done filet, like a 12-ounce well-done filet.
By the way, I wanted to thank you for your advice. Last week, you talked about turning stuff only once on the grill, which I've always I'm a serial turner. I keep turning stuff. But I did shish kebabs with pineapple and sausage. I only turned them once.
Okay.
And they turned out perfect.
Here's the thing I just saw, Patrick, too. One of the other things on the list you shouldn't do on the grill, which I have done, is shish kebabs. And their argument is, and I looked at them like, why? Because the protein cooks different temperature and time than the vegetables. So one is going to be overdone or underdone. And that makes sense.
It worked.
Yeah, you know, I think as long as the vegetables and the cut of meat are similar in size, right, as in the diameter, then you're probably okay. And plus, if you're cooking onion and red bell peppers or whatever, the typical items you're going to put on a shish kebab with the protein, it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, it's going to get a little char on it, a little more than the meat does, but isn't that kind of why you put it on the grill anyway?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and what I'll do is I'll try to do the vegetables a little bit thicker, or I'll fold the bell pepper over so it's a little more, so you got some thickness to
some
it.
Some meat.
And the meat then a little bit thinner. Pat, if you do shish kebabs like that, do you marinate them first? Because I do a Greek dressing marinade that usually comes pretty good, and then I season it up when they're grilling.
Yeah, no, I like to marinate things. The thing with that is make sure you drain them off really well before you put them on the grill because of the flare-up. And then I like to cook stuff, especially shish kebab. They're smaller pieces, so you don't need to cook them over like a really high direct flame. Lower the temperature a bit, and then, you know, over like a medium or medium low, and then cook them more slowly. That way, you're not charring the outside, and again, having, you know, I love to do swordfish on a kebab, as we used to say in New York, where I was born, is really, really, really good. But if you char the outside, it's so tough you can't eat it.
You know the hardest part about doing stuff, anything on a skewer, is turning it without it spinning.
Oh, yeah.
Someone needs to invent the thing that makes all of it stay together. I guess maybe just a double skewer.
It's called the sock stuffer.
Ah, yes. And then you can put your shoes on.
Exactly. Patrick, one of the other things they said you shouldn't grill is burgers. I was like, okay, that's probably the number one thing grilled. Their argument was that grilling them allows the fat to render off the meat to be lost instead of helping it to create the caramelization on the crust. So what happens is the stuff on the bottom of the burger is dripping down through the grates. Mm-hmm. The stuff on the top comes to the top, and then you just flip it off, and it...
Who said this?
This list on 7 things you shouldn't grill.
So somewhere there was a meeting, and they said, let's put hamburgers on the list, too, and just
how about
see
hot dogs?
And see how many people notice.
I mean, it makes sense, right? But come on.
Yeah, I think from a technical standpoint, if you're a burger gourmet and you're going to go around and grade a burger based on, you know, the top 12 factors, that may play a role. But part of the you kind of want that char on the outside, just a little bit of it to add, you know, so you know you're grilling out and it's summertime.
And if you do still want to grill like that and get what they're talking about, put a piece of tin foil down. Right? Aluminum foil.
Or
down.
Put,
not tin foil, aluminum
yeah,
foil.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good way to do it anyway, so that things don't fall through the you know, when it sticks and you can't get it, you know, you can't get it loose from the grill. I have to be careful what I say because Twitter goes crazy.
Yes.
You know,
I know.
Innuendos.
No such thing as bad publicity.
That's right.
Spell your name right.
And when you go to flip it, you know, it'll stick. One part will stick, and then part of your hamburger falls to the grill. That's the part where I always cry. That's the first time I cry.
Oh, I dig down into the ashes and pull the meat right back out.
Patrick, one of the times I put foil down is when I'm doing burgers. My mother-in-law, and you know she's Korean, does a bulgogi burger, basically. So the seasoning that goes in bulgogi, which is it's sweet, but it also has Korean spices and whatever. Right. She'll do that.
A little kofefe in there, right?
Kofefe goes on top after.
And poodle.
But she does that, so she seasons the meat like that, but it's there's a lot of liquid to it. And we put the foil down, and then if you cook it real well, that stuff kind of caramelizes, so you've got a coating on the burger. It is great. It's almost better than bulgogi. It really, it's the cheaper cut of meat because it's ground beef, but it's so good.
Mm, now I'm just craving bulgogi.
Yeah, see, who doesn't?
I woke up this morning.
Have you ever had the bulgogi?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You'll like it. Get the bulgogi bowl at the local Korean place. You'll love it.
We're going to go down there today or tomorrow. You're welcome to join us.
All right.
Sounds good.
So do you ever do any seafood on the grill, Doc?
Once in a while.
You know, people are always afraid to cook like mussels or clams or oysters. You know, you want to get a shuck oysters, they're a pain. But I'll tell you what, you just throw the whole oyster without shucking it on the grill, and when it pops open, it's ready to eat.
That's really simple. You're right.
That would be when it does what?
Absolutely.
When it opens. That's how you know when clams and mussels and that, when they open.
Just pop open.
After being cooked. If they're open before you cook them, that's bad.
Yes, don't eat them.
Yeah, that's garbage time. Yeah, but that makes it really easy. You don't have to mess with stabbing your hand with an oyster knife or anything like that. You just put all your shellfish on there. If you can buy like the huge cherry stone clams,
yeah,
just put them on the grill, and when they pop open, they're done. And you drizzle a little butter or olive oil, salt on there. I mean, they're perfect. And then crab legs. My ultimate favorite is crab legs.
Oh.
Yeah, that char. You cook them about 2 to 3 minutes on either side till they just start to get a little bit of brownness to them. Oh, that, you know, shrimp, you have to put foil down if you're going to do shrimp. But I cook almost my entire meal. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tweet some recipes out.
Cool.
One is for grilled sweet potatoes.
Nice.
You cut them like giant french fries, but then there's a cherry salsa that goes on top of that.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah, the other one is a spice rubbed duck breast with a salad with some goat cheese in it. That's pretty good, too.
Okay, so you tweet out a link to it. It's at foodbizpro or foodbizpro.com for Patrick Mosier, and we'll tweet out links to it as well, Patrick. That sounds awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Very good stuff.
Hey, talk to you soon.
Back, Doc. Take care.
All right, this is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Sleeve did it, tweeting hashtag what I learned today. All this talk of grilling with @FoodBizPro is making me want to run out to the store and buy some meat.
Mm. Well, not just that. Right now, there's food being cooked for Glenn. So talking about grilling and the smell of food that we cannot have.
Right.
It's a bad day.
Stephen English tweeted, when grilling filet, wrap it in bacon and it won't dry out.
That's a good point because you got all the bacon fat in there.
Yeah. You can wrap anything in bacon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you can.
Good stuff. Love it. Yeah, I love a lot of grilling stuff, and you just put the foil down for most of that stuff if you're worried about it, whatever.
Especially with onions, and they'll saute in that.
Seriously, you got to come out.
Like
in the
I
next,
know what I'm doing. I don't cook.
In the next day or so, if you want to go down and we'll grab some bulgogi, it's beef.
It's legal, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, now in parts of Texas, parts of Texas, there's dry counties, you know, but you get it. It's thin sliced beef, but it's marinated. In Korean spices with a little sugar and stuff in it too. And it's awesome. Then you put it with rice and whatever, but it's really good. All right, we have edited down the concessions piece from John Ossoff. Here it is. Ready?
This is the beginning of something much bigger, which has become the epicenter of politics. Darkness has crept across this planet, have provided a beacon of hope. You carried us on your shoulder. We can still build coalition. The most extraordinary experience I've ever had the honor of being a part of. It's extraordinary what you have done here. The fight goes on. Hope is still alive.
I'd like cliches for $500, please.
Sleeve did it, tweeting hashtag what I learned today and hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogan, kept my ass off the 6th district. Yes, they did. Because you don't live there. And you're also not going to represent it. Hilarious. You stole fizzy lifting gas. You lose. Good day, sir.
Good day.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I am somebody who proudly supports free markets and capitalism. True capitalism, not cronyism. Not people seeking to use their power and influence to spur legislation that would regulate or rule their competition out of business, but people who truly believe in being better, finding a better marketing solution, a better product, and supporting free markets and the competition. Proudly support that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people, I don't think, who get that. There are cries from people on the left who go that capitalism is a failure. It's not a failure. You don't understand it. Some of your criticisms of capitalism aren't really criticisms of capitalism, and I understand that. So I hope to in the future, and I hope you will as well, try to educate people. Don't discount the left's claims of problems in capitalism. Just explain. Most of their objections are not objections of capitalism. It's objections of cronyism. Explain it to them. And when we do, and we support free markets, and the principles of free markets, and we force DC to understand them and to act on them with true tax reform and balanced budgets, you will see America light an economic fire like we have not had in a long time. That's one of the solutions moving forward. But what does that look like? How do we sustain capitalism beyond it? How do we explain some of this to us? Well, joining me now is Stephen Odlin, co-author of Sustaining Capitalism, Bipartisan Solutions for Reform. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Doc. Great to be with you.
I don't think a lot of people truly understand capitalism, Steve. How do we explain it to them?
No, I think that's right. And, that's the reason we wrote the book Sustaining Capitalism. Capitalism is the greatest economic system known to mankind, despite its flaws. It's helped us raise billions of people out of poverty around the world. It's driven trade. It's driven this great country of ours. And if you go back to the founding, our form of democracy and capitalism were formed and intertwined as one system, and it's created the greatest nation ever known to mankind. But we have evolved it over time, and we need to continue to evolve it because it is not a system that came down on stone tablets. It's an organic system that needs to change and evolve over time. And we're calling for business leaders to stand up and stop the bad practices, the cronyism that you've talked about. And we're calling on our elected officials to stop the cronyism and to focus again on leveraging capitalism for the great growth that we need in this country.
Let's forget for a moment that it's human nature to do bad things at times. That's part of who we are, and I get that. But let's throw that out for a minute, for a window. There are a lot of CEOs that are under a lot of pressure to keep those spreadsheets looking good, to keep the stock price ticking up every time. And they're willing, okay, I got to try to influence this in D.C. I'll get that contract and, this regulation that'll stop something else that'll help our company. There's a lot of pressure to do those things.
Well, there is. And this whole notion of corporate short-termism is something we address in the book. There's a huge shift in ownership. Large institutional shareholders now own about 70% of all shares, and you've got activists driving the short-termism to the benefit of current shareholders. And so we've got this sort of eat the seed corn now mentality, and we talk about this. And it's driven short CEO tenures, executive compensation issues, and it's caused a short-term focus that threatens the sustainability of capitalism. We need investment, we need innovation, we need long-term growth, and all of that means that we've got to align shareholders and management and boards on the long term.
We hear phrases bantered about. Politicians love to say, we got to help small business, we got to help Main Street, and that's fine. But Main Street and small businesses are not better than big businesses. Big businesses are not better than small business. They're business. We need to have policies that help both. There are times for big businesses and big corporations to shine, things they can do that smaller can't do, and there are things that smaller Main Street businesses can do that big businesses can't do.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's one integrated supply chain. You know, large businesses work primarily with small businesses as their suppliers and vendors. You know, Jim McNerney of Boeing used to say that a 777 takes off with 1,000 small businesses behind it, and it's really true. And it's the same thing with trade. You know, we talk about trade as being a zero-sum game and how we need more growth in the United States. Well, you know, with 5% of the population, 95% outside the United States, we can't just deal with business inside the United States and grow to the extent that we want to grow. So you need this integration, you need the trade, you need businesses, both big and small, to work together. And that's why we got to stop dividing, and we've got to talk about this integrated capitalist model that we have in order to sustain it for the long term.
We're talking with Stephen Odlin, co-author of Sustaining Capitalism, Bipartisan Solutions for Reform. Stephen's business background includes chairman and CEO of Home Depot, president and CEO of AutoZone for a while, president and CEO of Topps Markets back from 98 to 2000. So, Stephen, you're really well-rounded in this stuff, and you've been in a lot of these corporations. You understand you know, how some of this works. One of the things we're focusing around here at The Blaze, and this is Glenn Beck's company, and one of the things we want to do more on the air here at Blaze Radio Network, so both internal and external, is understanding that we have a certain responsibility to our fellow man. This is not government control. This is our personal mantra that is also good for business, and that is we want to make people's lives better, help them make their lives better. So internally, our policies are trying to help people reach their goals, truly putting them first. How can we help you? And then outside of it and on the air and externally, how can we help our listeners and viewers make their lives better?
Well, it's a great goal. And I think, you know, having run three companies as I have and now serving in a not-for-profit in Washington, working with business leaders to try to work together in a nonpartisan fashion with our elected officials, I completely agree with what you're talking about. And this is why, you know, that we wrote the book to try to get people to re-engage. You know, unfortunately, business leaders have sort of put their heads in the sand over the past 10 years, and we understand some of it because they've been under regulatory attack or whatever reason, but they've got to re-engage in the public square. Our elected officials, back to the beginning of our country, have always relied on business leaders who drive the economy in order to help govern this country and to create the laws that help grow our country. And we need that interaction once again, not just with lobbyists, I understand that, but in a nonpartisan way. And so we promote business statesmanship for the benefit of all of our nation. And that goes from tax reform to regulation, crony capitalism, all of these ideas and issues that we're dealing with and working on.
Stephen is the current CEO of the Committee for Economic Development, which has a history that dates back to 1942. Explain how the CED works and the history of it, because it's pretty interesting.
It is, and we have a lot of people in the New York area that have been members. It was created in 1942 in the midst of the war. President Roosevelt convened the who's who of CEOs in that time to try to get to policy solutions following World War II. Our group came together and we wrote the Marshall Plan for the rebuilding of Europe and the global economy. We wrote the Bretton Woods Agreement, which created the IMF and the World Bank. And our leaders have engaged for 75 years. This is our 75th anniversary to try to drive reasoned solutions in the nation's interest, to drive trade, to drive growth, to drive bipartisanship, and all in the benefit of all of Americans. And so we've been going, and it's a great group of people. We would urge business leaders to come look at what we're doing and to join us in a nonpartisan fashion to try to help sustain capitalism and grow it for the future.
Sounds awesome. So you're doing that now. You were CEO of these companies for, you know, decades. You certainly understand how this works. You're passionate. I'm sure you've made your personal fortune in taking care of your family, however big or small that is. You've done all this. What drives you now, Steve? I mean, what is your why?
Well, you know, I had the opportunity after a long career to be able to give back, and everybody does it in their own way, but I've always been engaged in public policy, and I think that business leaders have an obligation to engage in a positive fashion. If we just leave our elected officials to themselves, look at what happens in Washington. We've got gridlock. We've got a lot of suffering. You've got the majority of millennials today saying that they'd rather have a socialist system than a capitalist system. Completely misguided. And so my point of view is that business leaders need to re-engage to educate, as you said, Doc, educate people, like, because they're just misguided and misinformed. When you get under the covers and you say, you know, what do you mean by that? What they mean is they're upset at the banks and some of the abuses of cronyism and so forth. But they really are market-based capitalists. We have to be careful here. We have a fragile system. Words matter, and we need to sustain this system and continue to care for it and grow it for the future.
So what are a couple of the solutions here, Steve? Because I have a couple of ideas here. They're certainly not new, and I think they're incredibly simple, and I think most people understand and want them. It's a matter of doing them. Number one, a balanced budget. DC, live within your means. Everybody gets it in their personal life. States get it. Local communities get it. So a balanced budget, that is paying and dealing with our future, with our past debts and unfunded liabilities moving forward. I think some sort of true tax reform that simplifies it, you know, without all the different deductions and exemptions and whatever. I think these are two really solid things we could do immediately.
Yeah. And this, we address both of them in our book, and we're saying that the national debt is a threat to the future of capitalism. We will have a debt crisis or a currency crisis or both. It's coming at us. If you leave all the policies in place, we will exceed 100% of debt to GDP in the next decade or so, and that's compared to a 40% debt to GDP average post-World War II. And then within another generation, we're over 150%. And every dollar in the discretionary budget goes to pay the interest. It's a disaster coming, and we need to deal with the Medicare and Medicaid issues primarily and Social Security secondarily to get at that. Education is another whole area that we talk about. You know, this whole thing about inequality is something that's much discussed, and we come at it from a different perspective. If your definition of inequality is that everybody's got to end up looking the same, then the only solution is redistribution. And that was that Piketty's book. We don't believe that, and America has never believed that. We've always been about equality of opportunity with variability of outcome. If people want to invest their capital, put more time in, work harder, they should reap the benefits, and that profit motive has driven the economic growth and the prosperity that we have in this country. So it's about equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome, and our education system needs to be core to that equality of opportunity. We've done a lot of work over the years on pre-K and K through 12 and post-secondary education since the 1950s. Those are just a couple of additional thoughts.
What does the future look like, Steve? I mean, we're at a time where automation, like never before, is really going to make an impact because the automation now will fix the automation. We know jobs will shift. And I think we'll see some old school solutions, maybe more barter system, more people being self-sufficient with, you know, growing more of their own food or whatever. But what does the future look like? We've got to understand that.
Yeah, you know, there's this notion out there that immigration is killing our jobs and jobs are being shipped off. The thing that is dealing with 90% of job displacement is innovation in technology and automation. This is a fact. It's been going on since the beginning of time in this country. Right. You know, we used to be an agrarian society, and that was all displaced when we became, you know, through the Industrial Revolution. That's being displaced to a knowledge economy. We go through these cycles. It is, in the macro sense, it's very good for society. It's helped to sustain 7 billion people on Earth, and it's necessary for the future. But we've got to deal with these displacements because, you know, the macro works, the micro sometimes doesn't. And if a plant closes in Middletown, Ohio, and it's the only source of employment, well, we've got to provide, we have to have policies to deal with that and to help those people, not just cast them to the wind. So these are the kinds of things that we're working on, the policies to deal with it. So don't throw out the whole system. Don't fear automation. Don't fear the future. Don't fear trade. Embrace it, but deal with the policies so that the people who are affected by it in a micro sense and in the short term are not disadvantaged.
That's a great point, because there is opportunity whenever there is change. There's always opportunity. It's just understanding. That's a great point, Steve. Steve Odlin, co-author of Sustaining Capitalism, Bipartisan Solutions for Reform. I'm going to go ahead and tweet out a link to your information. Do you have a Twitter account, a Facebook page, any of that stuff we should be aware of?
Yeah, just at CED Update is our Twitter handle, okay. CED.org, and all of our policies are available there. We'd love to have people join us and read it. It's very common sense, you know, pro-America, pro-growth policy.
I'd love to have you come in sometime to our company here and just speechify to the staff and explain some of these policies and stuff. I think that'd be really cool.
Love to do it.
All right, Steve. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Stephen Odlin will tweet out the information. This is The Morning Blaze.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
What do you got there? Some new Oreos.
I got the new limited edition firework Oreos.
What's the fireworks part?
It's a popping candy, you know, the rock.
Oh,
the
Pop Rocks.
Yeah, Pop Rocks.
Those sound good. Can I try one?
Try one?
Let me open the pack here and try one.
You eating half of the bag.
There are some missing here.
Some? I feel like two sleeves are missing.
Okay, I had some earlier.
Some? Two sleeves are missing.
Brad was in here, too.
He didn't eat any.
He was in here.
Okay.
Damn it, I thought you wouldn't catch the loophole. I was like, I'm not going to claim that he had any. Okay.
Can you feel the popping?
Here's the thing. You can if you don't just shove them down your gullet.
Which you've been doing for the last 2 hours.
I've been shoving them down they're popping in my stomach. But see, it takes a moment for the Pop Rocks to interact with your saliva to pop.
Yes.
They are not in my mouth long enough to integrate with the... Dude, I have a problem. You know I have a problem with food, and I'm in a bad way right now. I go in cycles, and right now I'm in a bad cycle.
Okay. So it's not helping that I brought a pack
of
Oreos.
No, this week was my week to get back on track after being on vacation and eating like a pig. This was my week to get back, and I've been struggling this week. And I'm like, okay, got to set it in my mind, right? We're doing whatever. And then I had the dinner last night with the one boss.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't eat right at dinner. And
no.
We went and we got pasta, and it was really good. And he was paying, so of course I'm going to load up.
Well,
so,
yeah. You know. Carbo load, yeah.
Right. I mean, someone's paying, you know. So I had to do that. And I'm like, okay, tomorrow morning, meaning today, ready to go. And then Chris is like, hey, fireworks Oreos.
And I was thinking of you when I said, because you told me you love the Oreos. And the problem with the Oreos is you cannot just eat one.
No, exactly.
Or two.
Keith,
or two sleeves.
Keith was in here too.
Yeah, but he didn't grab any. They were right behind you. By the way, I said when I hand them to you, you put them right next to your coffee.
I put them out because I don't want them on the desk here.
Yeah, because you want to share.
No, because I
can't. And then you kept. And if you go back to the podcast, I suggest you listen to the second hour.
Right.
When you hear Doc speaking away from the microphone, just count how many times he went away from the microphone, because that's where how many times he was grabbing the damn cookie. That's all. It was that like for effect. Sometimes when we scream, we don't want to blow your ears, so we go like over here, so you don't.
So instead of screaming way up here on the mic, you go way back here like that.
Exactly. No, he was doing this because he was getting the cookie. Yeah, I'm getting the cookie. Oh yeah, that was funny, Brad.
I've admitted I have a problem.
No, you do. You do.
And that's the first. You know,
so I had to go to my boss, Sarah, and be like, "Hey, can you please eat this? But can you eat them slowly so I can listen to the Pop Rocks?"
What do you want to listen to the Pop Rocks? You can eat them yourself.
This is cool. Oh, no, I'm on a diet.
So you're bringing it for me?
Yeah. And I can't have an Oreo.
I ate them.
Did you see this? There's 140 calories per two cookies.
Per what?
Per two cookies, 140 calories.
Are you kidding me?
So you had two sleeves.
I didn't need a sleeve because it's a smaller pack.
Okay.
It is a slightly
right,
smaller
sweetie.
Pack.
Keep telling yourself that.
All right, hang on. Sweetie. I want to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, there's like 10 per sleeve.
So you ate 20. Okay, I'll give
I had 2,500 calories in Oreos today. Son of a...
In 2 hours.
Biscuit. You Glenn Becked me. You did. We've realized when we feed Glenn sugar, when we slip him a Mickey, when he comes in here in the morning, he's in a better mood all day.
You were so angry yesterday, so I figured to like lift you up.
You Glenn Becked me with sugar. You're my pusher today.
You're welcome, the Blaze audience.
Oh, my golly. Oh, but okay. Now I know how Glenn feels with this stuff. Let's get back to mocking him and pushing sugar on him, okay? Because that makes me feel almost as good as sugar.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Thompson.
About a year and a half ago, Barbie was given a whole new set of looks by Mattel. They said, we're just not selling as many Barbie, so we need to change Barbie up, even though she's iconic and been around forever. So they needed to change her to make her more diverse, to appeal to a greater audience. It seems like a bit of a fail to me.
Yes.
Do people only go to see movies where people look like them?
No.
Do people only buy toys that look like them?
No. For a perfect example, yes, I went to see the new Transformers. I did not go because I wanted to be like Mark Wahlberg. I went because I wanted to see the Optimus cool Prime.
Movie. But you don't identify with Optimus Prime.
No, I do not. I transform.
But not as a machine.
Not as a machine.
Okay, gotcha. Yes. They're very different there.
Yes.
I mean, you don't buy toys or read comic books because you identify or because you want to. I mean, some cases, but not exclusively.
So you support the branch, the franchise. That's how you say, hey, I like this.
So I hate the, I mean, listen, if Mattel thinks they can make more money, God bless them. But I hate the, we've got to be diverse now. We've seen this with iconic characters and comic books or whatever. You know, this character has to now be gay. This character now has to be transgender, black, or whatever it is. Guys, stop it. You want to create a black superhero? Do it. You want a gay whatever and people love it? Sure, wonderful. I don't care. I just hate when they try to, for diversity's sake. So, Mattel launched the new Barbies. Bunch of different new looks. Now, Ken is getting the makeover.
Yes, he is.
He's going to have three new body types. Broad, slim, and original.
Is there a dad bod in there? Because I'm rocking the dad bod.
No, it does not say that.
What?
How come there's not Fat Ken? Come on, Mattel. You want to be diverse? Where's Fat Ken?
Where's dad bod Ken?
I said Fat Ken.
Yeah, but I don't like the fat word, though.
Just dad bod?
Dad bod, yeah.
How about obese Ken?
Okay, there
also
we go.
Known as American Ken.
America today.
Right. Broad, slim, and original. Then there's seven skin tones, including freckles.
Freckles a skin tone?
Yeah, it's a skin tone and then an accoutrement.
I thought it was like a disease or something.
Freckles is not a disease. It has to do with pigmentation of the skin.
Okay,
but
okay.
Disease. Eight hair colors. Yes, I know. You're going.
Yeah, I'm counting them up. I'm like.
Eight?
So blonde, brunette.
Redhead.
Red, black. What else? What
am I'm running missing? White.
Okay. Salt, pepper.
Okay, you're at six.
Purple?
Like, I guess maybe goth. Like, so it's purple or green.
Rainbow? I don't know. I'm lost it.
Oh, for the clowns. The people with the rainbow hair.
Yeah.
And then nine hairstyles, including cornrows. It's cornrow Ken.
Do they have fro Ken?
I think they do have fro Ken.
Do they have military cut, high top?
High and tight Ken?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Seven skin tones, three body types, eight hair colors, and nine styles. Barbie went through something similar. Now runs 40 different dolls.
Wow.
Representing seven body types, 11 skin tones, 28 hairstyles for Barbie. That seems like a lot. Again, do they have obese Barbie?
Probably not. I think so.
Right, morbidly obese Barbie.
Oh, not morbidly obese, because I know Homegirl was supposed to play Barbie. That crazy nut leftist girl.
Okay, that's like not narrowing it down too much there.
No.
Lena Dunham?
No, the other one. The Schumer.
Rachel Maddow?
Schumer. Schumer's cousin.
Amy Schumer?
Amy Schumer. She's supposed to play Barbie, remember?
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
So that's just chubby body type. Wait, goes home alone Barbie type. Seven drink Barbie type. Body type. It's seven drink Barbie. You'll need seven drinks to take her home. Not she'll need seven drinks. You'll need the seven drinks.
Ken needs the seven drinks.
Ken needs the seven drinks. Amy's playing seven drink Barbie. Three bag Barbie. Not on your life, Barbie. Not if I were in prison, Barbie. These are all the different types.
I'm with her, Barbie.
Which is also no way in hell, Barbie. I'd have to be roofied, Barbie. You mean she would? No. I'd have to be roofied. and still then I would fight it. No! No! Come on, guys. Again, Mattel, good for you if you're thinking you're making cash, but just knock it off. What? This one, why not just... Barbie has Barbie and Ken and Skipper, right? Different
yeah.
dolls.
Yeah.
Why not just say, hey, Barbie's got a black friend?
Yeah.
Hey.
Add a new like a line to it.
Right. Barbie dropped Ken. She's going out with MC Slick, the rapper, and he's got cornrows. He's an old rapper. He's a 90s rapper with the MC. That's what it is, right? 90s rapper. Why wouldn't you just do this? Barbie's got a whole series of friends here. Why is that to be Barbie? Have you seen the stupid thing they did with Barbie where Barbie is a character playing a character?
Yes, Princess Barbie.
What the hell is that?
Princess Barbie.
So I'm watching.
Beauty and the Beast Barbie.
Right. This is, I don't know, five whatever years ago. And one of my nieces has on a little cartoon. And I'd sit down, I'm at my mom's house, and say, oh, what's going on? I'm like, what is this? Oh, it's like Beauty and the Beast or something. Great. What are they saying Barbie for? So the character of Barbie, who is not real, is starring in a show playing Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Couldn't you just cut out the middleman and just say, here's Beauty and the Beast? That seems like a marketing fail for them. At the Blaze, Brad, and I don't know where he disappeared to. Is he hiding
him.
In shame?
I think we embarrassed him.
During the commercial break, I say to Brad, hey, did you see the Barbie types? And he's like, wow, that is a failure. He goes, you know, they have a growing up Barbie doll. And I'm like, growing up Barbie? And he goes, yeah, it's crazy. In fact, I'll show you. And I see, you mean online? No, I'll be back in a minute. I got to run to my dressing room.
Yeah, and then he comes with this
Barbie doll
that you're holding.
I'm not kidding, folks. This is not a lie.
Yeah.
Brad had this Barbie doll in his dressing room.
Yeah.
He does not share it with a 7-year-old girl. He doesn't have a daughter
and
who
pops in.
He doesn't
have a daughter.
No. No. It doesn't double as the nursery for around none of this.
No.
At the Blaze Brad on Twitter. That's his, in case you'd like to comment. At the Blaze Brad on Twitter has this Barbie doll. It's growing up Barbie. And when you move her arm, she gets a little taller and goes through puberty. I'm not kidding. Look, come in here, Keith. Come in here. You don't believe this. This is Brad's. Ready? Watch your chest. Are we doing it right? Am I going the right way? Oh, look. She gets breasticles. There they are. See it? This is growing up Barbie. See, she's taller. She's got breasticles now, Sarah. Keith, see this? I'm not joking. Look at this. We'll tweet out a link to it. Yeah, this is Brad's.
Why not?
He's
by the
hiding
way,
in shame.
We're on live Facebook, so people can see it and grow and watch Barbie grow.
Look, I'm not judging Brad, but that's a pedophile's dream right there, that toy. That's ridiculous.
How do you get it to go back down? You can't ungrow her. There it is. Get it back down.
You can't ungrow her. You're enjoying that.
Look, I'm just
much.
Trying to... The arm isn't working properly. I don't know if Brad's been...
Whoa! Her dress just fell. Whoa! No.
She went to miniskirt. Holy moly.
Well, when you grow up, you know, you go into miniskirt.
There it is. So what do you think?
Not a fan.
I'm not asking if you want one. I'm just saying Brad has this hanging out in his dressing room.
So what's the question? What do I think?
About him having one in his dressing room.
I'm disturbed by that.
Okay, thank you.
What
I'm
else is
alone.
In his dressing room?
I think there should be some investigation.
I'm about to go and look right now.
Okay.
I'll report back.
Did you know there was such a Barbie doll?
I did not. That's why I listen to The Morning Blaze.
Oh, you're so nice that you dressed her back up.
Well, I don't want to be, you know, creepy.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because you holding a doll.
This is not my doll.
Careful there.
It is now.
Don't shake
her
head.
Fix her hair.
Careful.
Okay. Anyway, so we got a tweet. See, it was Facebook we're on, Facebook
yes.
Live. You see it right there. What is it? Sarah, did you have one of these? Does your daughter have one of these? No, okay. Do you remember the pregnancy one? I don't know if it was official Barbie, where you take the little baby out of the belly.
What?
That's one of them they had on there, whatever.
Really?
It's the left arm.
Oh.
There it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brad is not here to get an explanation.
No.
I'm assuming hiding in shame somewhere
actually,
in the building.
He just sent me the link to the ad for this.
Oh, do we have an ad? Can you play it?
I can play it.
Okay, pop
I
this in there.
I can play the ad. Here we go.
This is the commercial for growing up Barbie, right?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Put
you
it
got
on.
You got the
not
ad?
The computer.
Yeah,
Put
the computer, the patch line. There we go.
Thanks for following along here, Kirk. Here it is.
Meet new growing up Skipper.
Oh,
he's
Skippy.
Two dolls in Skipper. One. Because when you turn her arm, you can make her change instantly from a little girl to a tall, slender teenage doll, which is something you can't do. You can have fun with Skipper when she's little, then suddenly you can make her grow up enough to wear her glamorous teenage skirt. New Growing Up Skipper is two dolls in one for two kinds of fun. Growing Up Skipper gets taller when you turn her arm and comes with these fashion accessories. New.
That was 1970.
Yeah. Really?
Something. Two, five.
We got it wrong. So the
it's Skipper. It's Growing Up Skipper.
Well, yeah. Why is this
Why are you undressing her?
Hold on, because this is how she's supposed to be. This is when she's little. She wears a miniskirt when she's...
When she's little?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be when she's older?
That's what I thought. So when
Careful. She, that thing's oh, about yeah. to fall right
When
on.
She grows... So I, okay, so when she grows...
Then you put the dress
now
on.
Now you put on the dress.
I see.
Because you have to cover...
Oh, that's not an apron?
Did you notice they're like, she gets taller. That's not all. They conveniently left out the other part of it there.
But the apron. You're talking about the apron part, right? Right. Yes. When wow. she goes to the kitchen. Now she's older, right? Is that what you're
I don't know. Maybe people had this in the 70s. I don't recall this. But,
by the way, her face is really orange.
Here's my question. Well, that's the growing up Trump doll.
Ivanka?
Here's my question. Has Brad Staggs, and feel free to tweet at him, at TheBlazeBrad, has he had that since the 70s?
Oh, so this is mint, maybe? Mint condition?
I'm not looking for the resale value.
Oh.
I'm looking for the creepy factor of why he has this there.
I went to the first resale
He's like,
value.
You're so pretty growing up, Skipper.
So is it,
I
is
love
this him?
You. I love you. I is think it him? Might be alone in his room at night.
Oh, I just messed up her bandana thingy.
Okay, let me get a break in here. We'll tweet out a picture of it so you can see it as well and a link to it. I got to get a quick Relief Factor commercial. Tell you about Relief Factor. It's helping thousands of people in our audience deal with their chronic pain by alleviating the problem, the cause of the chronic pain, and that is inflammation in the body. Most of the time, if people are in pain, and certainly chronic pain, what they have to do is take some sort of narcotic or something that masks the pain. It's not really dealing with it, which means you have to take more and more, and it becomes less effective, and you have all the side effects. Why not just deal with the inflammation and have the pain go away? And that's what Relief Factor does. It works. It worked for me. It worked for Chris and Cal and Blaze and Brad, Keith, all kinds of people here at The Blaze and all kinds of listeners deal with pain by getting rid of that inflammation. Usually takes 7 to 10 days to start feeling the full effects. But the good news is you can get a 3-week quick start pack right now for just $19.95. If you know somebody with chronic pain, suggest it to them. Tell them to go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com and try it for just $19.95. They can also call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of The Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned John Ossoff lost. He doesn't know it, but he lost.
It's a big loss.
He doesn't know it. Maybe he'll figure it out today. We learned Brad Stagg's dressing room is oddly creepier than Jeffy's. Who would have known that? We learned Chris Cruz is... The 39%.
Yes, I am. Yes.
We learn I'm fine with libertarian snakes, but not those snakes that support socialism. You go your way, I'll go mine, libertarian snakes. Good to go. All right, Kirk, spin of the dials, radio style dials, text morning. What of anything did you learn today?
What I learned today is if you want Doc to really bring it, just give him a few Oreos.
Leave not a whole, few. A give sleeve. Him a whole box.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. I identify as Glenn today.
Some big shoes to fill.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
Big Daddy O learning. It's ironic that the guy with mannequin fetish mocks the guy with a Barbie fetish.
I don't know who they're talking about.
Okay.
Who are they?
Cajun Asian.
Fetish is a strong word. Alike is probably more accurate.
I think fetish nailed it.
Okay.
Cajun Asian learning. Burger King is now offering a Lucky Charm milkshake. What I learned today.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
I guess that was our something we need to know. It goes, Shield Kafefe Mom, is anyone else not surprised that the Morning Blaze adult male crew are playing with Barbies?
Playing, again, I'm not sure is the accurate description here. Curious, investigating, reporting, doing the hard stories, the hard work and investigations that you won't do. We do them so you don't have to. Is any of that believable at all?
No.
Okay, fine.
No. Stephen English finally learning, Brad has a sex trafficking Barbie.
Okay, that's it. Winner, chicken dinner, we're done. All right, I need those new numbers on procrastination, but I'm going to move them to tomorrow, so don't worry. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Cal's top of the week.
Cal's not in.
Oh, but that's what's on the schedule.
Okay, whatever. What does Glenn have coming up in his program?
Daniel Booth, a top of hour three, to talk about economy something. Something about economy.
Oh.
Okay. We forgot to give him the cookies.
He didn't really sell it, though. I didn't sell it. All right, what is Glenn wearing today?
He's sad, so he's blue.
He's wearing blue, or he is blue?
All blue.
I still don't understand, but I guess we'll just move on. Remember, the Morning Blaze is today, Chris Cruz production, Six Semper Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon, wherever you are. Anya, now you go home.
Here, just have another cookie.
I'm going to go ahead and tweet this picture out, too. You know what? Investigation. Brad's dressing room. It'll be like Geraldo Rivera's vault, except there'll actually be stuff in it.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.